Hello, and thank you for listening to the Teaching Math Teaching Podcast. The Teaching Math Teaching Podcast is sponsored by the Association of Mathematics Teacher Educators, a community of math teacher educators learning to teach math teachers better. I'm your co-host, Dusty Jones, and joining me today is co-host Jen Wolf. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Dusty. Good to be here.
Thanks. Today, we're talking with Dr. Krista Jackson. We're really excited. She's a professor of mathematics, science, and STEM education at St. Louis University. We're talking to Krista because of her recent work in editing a series of books for the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, NCTM, and we're excited to learn more about how these books can be used in mathematics classrooms and in mathematics teacher education. Welcome, Krista. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's been a long time. You've been on our guest list, in the mind for a while, and we're just excited that we finally, were able to connect here.
Yes.
Could you take a minute to introduce yourself beyond what I already shared? What did I miss?
Well, I am a person that enjoys reading. I don't know if you want additional personal background, but
sure. Yeah. Just tell us about yourself.
Share that. I enjoy reading. I enjoy reading particularly mysteries. Mysteries are my love. And my favorite color in the world is red. You cannot convince me otherwise that any other color is the most brilliant, beautiful color in the world. So red is my favorite color. And I have my husband. His name is Michael Jackson. So yes, I am married to the Michael Jackson. And so yes, nice. He can do, people ask him, can he do the moonwalk? He says, no, I don't moonwalk, but I can do a two-step here and there too.
So Chris, I have to ask you a question about reading. Are you someone who, like, do you have a favorite environment that you like to read in, or like, do you like music in the background or like complete silence? Like, what's your favorite way to read?
I really like reading outdoors because I love the nature. And if I can just have a good book and just start reading, whether it's on my balcony or even if I go to a park and read there, I just enjoy reading and being one with nature as well.
Oh, I love that. And you know, sometimes with weather, depending on where you are, you like one way that I recreate that kind of outdoor feel is to like go to Netflix or go to like YouTube, and then those sceneries where they have the music, whether it's like, maybe I'm feeling like I want to be in a jazzy coffee shop, or maybe I feel like I want to be near the ocean. And then I just kind of bring it into my living room. So I'm always curious with people who like to read, what's that environment that they find is conducive to reading for them? Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. And Krista, Jen, I don't know if you know this, Krista and I were both at the University of Missouri working on our doctorates at the same time. And the weird fact I like to tell people about how Krista and I are also connected is her husband Michael's parents live in the same tiny, tiny town that my parents live in. When I say tiny, population around 500. And so it's really weird that we, somehow connected there. So
that's so cool. It's a small world, right? When you start, connecting the dots in math ed for sure. And then it's
So Krista, thinking professionally, some of your history, how did you start teaching math teachers, or why did you start teaching math teachers?
Well, I started off teaching at the elementary level. I've always wanted to be a teacher. That has always been my love. That has always been my joy. So much so that I would have my little sister and make her play school with me. And I would make her call me Miss Maben. So I have my little sign up and she would have to call me Miss Maben. Even if she wanted to go out the room, I was like, nope. Miss Maben didn't give you permission. So, and I would teach her mathematics because mathematics has always been a joy of mine. So I would teach her mathematics and problem solving. And then from there, that's what led me to want to be more and more of a teacher, because I've always wanted to be a teacher. But then I had the opportunity to teach middle school mathematics and middle school science because of my love and my joy that I have for that. So then when I had the opportunity to go to Mizzou to pursue my doctorate, I was like, this is going to be a mathematics education. And I decided to do that because I wanted to expand my reach, because there's so many people that don't have this love for mathematics. And there are a lot of people, particularly in the area that I grew up with, you didn't see a whole lot of people that looked like me, Black girls in mathematics. So I wanted to really embark on how can I really showcase and spread that love to particularly our Black and Brown students, that there is joy in doing mathematics and giving them that access and the opportunities that they need to really thrive in mathematics. Because in the area that I lived in, a lot of my friends who were people of color, they were not in the advanced mathematics courses. So I always often wondered about that, even as a little girl growing up. Why am I the only one in this course? What opportunities have I been given that they have not? Mm-hmm. Is it something that I just particularly excelled in, or is it something that within the teaching aspect that we could really making sure that we're reaching each and every student, regardless of, not regardless of, because we have to take culture and background into account, but mm-hmm. with, in addition to their culture and their background, mm-hmm. so that they can thrive and excel and see the, so the teachers and their parents and the community can see their mathematical brilliance. So that is one of the primary reasons that I went into teaching math teachers, because mm-hmm. that's an area that, particularly at the elementary level, it's either you love it or you don't love it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the best advice that you received when you started teaching math teachers?
The best advice that I received is to really bring forth the joy of mathematics. Show your compassion and your passion towards mathematics, because then that would exude with the math to the math teachers that you are, that I was working with. Because if you are not passionate about what you're doing, then you can't expect the others to be passionate mm-hmm. about it. So when I'm teaching math teachers, I show forth my passion and they're like, oh, this isn't too bad, or this is something that is joyous and fun. So that was the best advice that I received. And I continue that to this day. Show forth my passion and my excitement towards mathematics, because that spills over to that their passion. And it's like, okay, yes, this can be done. This is a fun and exciting thing to do when I'm working with mathematics teachers.
Yeah. Putting together some of the things you said, I'm reminded of the lesson I taught yesterday. It was about the 9-point circle. And ever since I started teaching geometry 25 years ago, students have always said, why do we have to prove these theorems? It's true. It says right here, I read it in the book, it's true. Why do we have to prove it? And so I tried to approach it with kind of a mystery approach. Like, what do you think might happen? Oh my goodness. And I had a lot of fun with it, and the students were as well. So that's just a snippet of, you know, somebody else trying to share their passion, and it's infectious in a way. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like puzzles, like a whodunit type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. what do you think? And then sometimes my students, my pre-service teachers always get back at me. Don't ask Dr. Jackson what she thinks or any questions, because she's just going to turn around and ask you another
right.
question. And that's one thing when I was teaching in the classroom as well. It's like, don't ask Miss Maben anything or Miss Jackson anything, because she's just going to turn it around and give us back to as a question, because we want to inspire thinkers so that they're thinkers and doers and knowers of the mathematics, because if we continue to tell, they're not learning and doing anything of their own, because they're just regurgitating what mm-hmm. we are giving them. And that's one thing that I passionately share with my pre-service teachers: refrain from the telling, because even though we think we're helping our students, we're actually hindering their learning.
Mm-hmm. So what's a word or phrase or quote that helps you center the work that you do in teaching math teachers?
The brilliance of students. Always keep their brilliance in mind, so that when I'm working with math teachers, I want them to focus on the students and their mathematical brilliance and what they can do, but and not what they cannot do. And if they cannot get, oh, they can't understand these fractions, these percentages, or these decimals, but they can do this. They do have this understanding. So how can we focus on their brilliance and bring that to and use that as an asset to help them learn concepts that they may be struggling with?
Oh, and I just want to shout out here, Krista. So you brought out this brilliance, and I'm like excited that that's your word that you center, because there's a book chapter that you have in Equity and Access, where you talk about Miss Dellison. And so I've paired that reading with Principles to Actions, Their Productive and Unproductive Beliefs. And so we, after reading that wonderful piece that you co-authored, we go into it. It goes right into how can someone hold both productive and unproductive beliefs? And then we do like a little beliefs card sort and really start to interrogate, like, what are those different biases I have? What do I see as what mathematics can be and do? And what do I believe about students' capabilities? So I just want to shout out that that work has been influential in helping me think about how to work with pre-service teachers and interrogating and unpacking those productive and unproductive beliefs where we center students' brilliances.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll put
so
a,
important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so folks can find that article and be inspired and use that.
Yes.
Krista, you've mentioned some of these things already. I'll just ask it outright. What advice would you give to someone else starting out in this role of teaching math teachers? What would you share?
I would share with him to never, ever give up. Continue to press. And then, because what you're doing is making a difference. And see the brilliance of each and every child, because each and every child has some brilliance and mathematical understanding to offer. And then one other piece of advice that I will center in with mathematics teachers is that show the joy and the beauty of mathematics, even though if you don't necessarily see it initially yourself, but begin as you're beginning to show the show, bring out the joy and the beauty of the mathematics, then that opens up a whole world of mathematics, more than just numbers, because mathematics is so much more than what we consider as school mathematics. So really showcasing that mathematics is in every single thing that we do. And that's how we relate. And that's actually how we live. So showing that when, particularly when our scholars are struggling in mathematics and they say, oh, I hate mathematics or I can't do mathematics, but showing that everything that they do in their life is mathematics, for them to just decide what clothes that they want to wear and what combinations, what shirt they want to wear with what bottoms, whether it's a pair of pants or shorts, those different combinations, they're doing mathematics just in that. So showing the relatedness of mathematics is one thing that I would share.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I know you all can't see this, but I wish I was a student in Krista's classroom, because I can just feel the joy in the space that we're in right now. Like, your smile is infectious. I have always thought that. So every time I'm around you, I'm like, she makes me happy. It's good to be around. So I imagine that your students really enjoy the way you engage in their brilliance.
Thank you so much.
Krista, how do you set boundaries and priorities within and outside of the work that you do?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Some people say that I'm still need to work. Well, Michael would say I still need to work on that, but I think I'm doing a fairly decent job. So, well, in some respects, I'll take that back a little bit, but I would set the way that I set my boundaries on the work that I do. I like to do my work, of course, throughout the week. And one thing that I have promised myself, as well as my mom, because she said that I need to start really taking some time off. And I'm listening to my mom to make sure that I'm being good to myself, both mentally as well as physically. I really turn off everything on late Saturday evening, and I do not do any work on Sundays. That used to not be the case. I would just plow right through. It's like, oh, I got to get this done. I have to do this. And, but you do have to set boundaries for family, for personal, as well as keeping that outside of the professional. Even though I love what I do, you have to set those boundaries because we're only in this area for just a set period of time. So,
And many of our guests have said, oh, this is great. I'm really trying to do this, but I mean, it's hard. You know, if you love the work that you do and you feel it's very important, then why not spend more time on it? But like you said, to take care of yourself, both mentally and physically, we need some of that rest time. So that's great.
And another thing that I like to do, it works for me. I'm the one that likes to check my email on my phone. And I know some people don't have it on their phone. So when I'm at home, I set my phone way away so I can't just tangibly pick it up to the other side, so that I will have to, if I really want to do it, I have to physically go over and make a mental, physical effort. So that has also helped as well. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, just stick in another room. I like that.
So I'm excited about these books, and I've looked at the NCTM website. I'll put the link in the show notes. The series is called Powerful Mathematicians Who Changed the World. And it right now, I think there are 4 books in the series. Correct. And for all grade levels. But let me not say more about it. Let me ask you, what's this about, and who is the intended audience for these books?
Yes. So this I'm really, really, really excited about. So the Powerful Mathematicians Who Changed the World is a book series that really focuses on our underrepresented mathematicians. Mm-hmm. So our mathematicians of color, as well as our women mathematicians. Particularly in the school setting, we hear about our white male mathematicians, and we hear a lot about what work they have done. We've heard about Pythagoras, and we know about the Pythagorean theorem. We've heard of Gauss, we've heard of Euler, and all of these other wonderful, amazing mathematicians. So we're not taking anything away from them or their contributions, because they have set us at new epiphanies. But there are also mathematicians that we typically do not hear about in the classroom, but we should be hearing about all of their wonderful mathematical contributions and the work that they have done. So the Powerful Mathematicians book series is really centered on those underrepresented mathematicians that we typically don't hear about in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And those mathematicians that are in the book series are real mathematicians. They are not fictitious at all. Mm-hmm. And their mathematical contributions are real as well. However, the storyline for each of the books is totally fiction. And that's what I love. And this is what I call the genre of creative fiction. So each of the books is a work of creative fiction where the mathematician and their mathematical contributions are true, but the storyline is fictitious. So with that, that really captures the readers at all levels. So we have the readers that for the read alouds for our early childhood, our kindergarten, preschool, so that it really captures their interests and they learn about the mathematicians and they can do the mathematics along with what's in the book. So it's centering their mathematics, but at each of the different grade levels or age levels. So it's really targeting not only the younger children as well as the older children that are getting them more interested in reading the books, but it also targets adults because I also enjoy reading young adults and children's literature. And then having that avenue to see someone that looks like me, sounds and has become a mathematician, with the Powerful Mathematicians book series, is really targeted to children of all ages, all the way up to 102.
Okay, great.
And within the book series, within each of the books, there is opportunities to engage in the mathematics as well. So like in the Dazzling Data book that features Talithia Williams, the early childhood learners can engage in the mathematics as the teacher or parent is doing the read aloud, because it could be read aloud to the students by the teacher or a parent or a guardian, or they could read it out aloud themselves. So they can actually engage in the book. And what I really love about each of these books, it really targets the mathematics. So the reader is doing the mathematics. They are the doers of the mathematics. So they're engaging in the mathematics. For example, in The Mystery Underground, Agnes Meyer Driscoll was a cryptologist. And so therefore, as the readers are engaging in the story, they're using and engaging in decoding and ciphering, and they're doing that cryptanalysis. So they are doing that work. And it's just exciting.
That sounds exciting. You've got these books, it looks like they're kind of targeted toward grade bands, although, like you said, up to ages 102. I love that. And the art also, I just want to mention, you know, from what I've seen is fantastic. Your artist, Estrella Bascunian.
Yes, and she is from Spain.
From Spain. Awesome. So it's lovely. So there's four right now. Are there more coming?
Yes. And we're really excited about that. So the whole book series as of right now will be a total of 13 books.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That is really, really exciting. We're hoping that we'll have a new set at the NCTM annual, depending upon how the production line goes, that will be on the shelves in addition to the four that are already out too. So,
oh, that's great.
That's so cool. I love it because you mentioned the artwork. It's amazing. And then I feel like there's lots of hidden stuff. Like if you look at what's on the blackboard, or like, so a little teaser, if you get those books, or I should say when you get those books, be looking for just those little details that are in the books. Yeah, I love it.
Yes. And the authors for each of the book series have been amazing. So have a team of authors for each of the book series, and just their ingenuity, their creativity, and their excitement and their passion that has gone forth in writing these books, because for many of them, this is typically out of their wheelhouse from what they normally write. They normally write for academia, or they write research, or they're doing this, but then to write and target our young learners and in this area, as well as working with prospective teachers and mathematics teachers in general, this has been amazing. So I want to do a huge, huge shout out to all of the authors on the team.
That's great.
They are wonderful.
That's great. It's always nice when you are working with a bunch of people who are really passionate and creative and skilled and excited to do what they're doing. It makes it feel like it's not work. You know, you're just having a great time. And then there's this awesome product that comes out as well. What are some, I hope these are in school libraries. I hope these are, in children's homes or grandparents' homes, so children can interact, students can interact with these. As a math teacher educator, what are some ways that we could use these as we prepare our future teachers? How are some ways that we can incorporate these books?
Really focusing on the brilliance of all. And one thing that I really like about what we've done with the book series is we've targeted specific ways either in the More For You resources or in the book itself, that this can be extended with math in the mathematics classroom or with teachers as well. So we provided different additional resources, additional planning guides, additional discussion prompts that teachers can use. And that is one way that mathematics teacher educators can use them too. So when they're teaching focusing on a specific aspect in their methods course, or even in their content courses, and then they're focusing on different mathematics or different realms of doing things, and talking about culture as even social justice, because that is one thing that each of the books really centers on. It brings out a social justice aspect. So it brings it out. So it could be something that the mathematician themselves had to deal with, or the characters in themselves that they had to deal with. So, but they're using that mathematics to circumvent that too. Mm-hmm. So it's focusing on that. So it could be used in a variety of different ways.
Yeah. I really like how you've got to focus on some social justice aspect in there. From the illustrations, the students can see, not only from the illustrations, but also from the mathematicians that are highlighted, more students have a chance to see themselves mm-hmm. in those mathematicians. As a white male, I can kind of see myself in Gauss or Euler or something. But it's really great to see all of the different representation, the diversity that we actually see in our classrooms, in the characters in these books. And so that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's an emotional thing, I would imagine, too. I mean, just when I saw the series, and when I see more and more now what's available in terms of, like, do I see myself and others represented in this space that typically I haven't seen before? So it's hard to imagine or dream what you can do or what you can become when it's not always represented in the literature that you've seen in your life, right? So I think there's just so many ways that I'm excited that this project is going to even have more books to it. So this is exciting.
And I also like the authenticness of, you're talking about a real person, a real mathematician, and here are the real mathematics that they've done. So you're not just inventing somebody and, you know, using a crayon that we don't normally use to color that person in and making something up, but it's real life. So that's really exciting.
Exactly.
Like, and this exists, and we see these folks thriving, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just this existence, but the thriving and the joy.
Krista, you've told us some things that you like to do outside of your role. You mentioned reading. We all know your favorite color is red, and you said that
you can't change your mind
so emphatically that I am not even going to try to convince you anything about green.
Like, side note, like, have you seen, I mean, not like Mazda's Soul Red, that color on the, like, if you ever see a Mazda go by, they have like this color that's Soul Red. And I feel like if you're a big fan of red, you would like that color. I don't know about Mazda, but you know, it's a really pretty red.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was just a little sidebar there.
Krista, is there anything else that you'd like to promote or share with us while you have the microphone?
Well, personally, I do enjoy, and this is something that some people don't know about me, is I enjoy playing games. I am a game fanatic. And of course, I'm very, very competitive too. So some people really think I'm really, really quiet until they get in a game with me. So that's when it's like, who is this person? So I really, really enjoy games, and I love all kinds of games. And mm-hmm. so that's something that I enjoy doing as well.
What's the game you played most recently?
Oh my goodness. It's a game called Dominion. And
okay.
I enjoy playing that game, but like I said, I'll play any types of games. And that's one way that I can lose myself, because I can play a game by myself and be just as content. And it goes on and on for hours too.
Awesome.
Well, so when NCTM started doing game night, you were probably like, I'm there. I'm there. I'm ready. Like,
that's me.
Watch out.
Exactly.
Krista, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thanks again to you listeners for listening to the Teaching Math Teaching podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. We hope you're able to take action on something you just heard. Go check out those books and interact with other mathematics educators. Did you know that AMTE has another podcast called the Mathematics Teacher Educator Podcast? It accompanies the latest edition of the Mathematics Teacher Educator Journal and has authors discuss the work that have been published in the journal. You can find a link to that podcast in the show notes for this episode.